Good morning. It's a pleasure to be with you all this morning. We are the Carey family. I'm Sarah, and this is my husband, Ben. And we're here with our whole family today. So I think we have a picture of them, or I could make them all stand up, but our kids are with us too.
Both.
Hey, kids, stand up. Daddy says stand up. These are our four children. We have Travis, Hannah, Emma, and Leah with us. And we have been serving in Northeast Germany for the last 16 years. Yeah, there's a close-up of them.
I have the same shirt on.
You have the same shirt
on,
hon.
I don't own any other shirts.
That's good timing. I think it must be his favorite. Can you tell? Yeah, we live in Waren, Northeast Germany, as you've heard probably a few times already. We've been there in Waren for about 12 years now, and in Germany about 16. Do I have my numbers off? Close
enough.
Yeah,
you're off.
Anyway. But we are really excited to be with you this morning and get a chance to share with you a little bit more in detail of what it looks like and why we're there, why you keep hearing Kirk and Heather talk about us, and why we're just excited to be here with you and the role that you have in our lives and in the lives of our team there serving Northeast Germany and the wonderful people of Germany.
Yeah, we are here on home assignment in the United States until July. We got our tickets to head back July 13th, so we're excited to head back there. But it's been a great year, and I just wanted to say thank you to all of you here that we can exercise as the body of Christ here within the Alliance. Many of you have prayed for us, or many of our colleagues in different countries around the world. We're all scattered in very strategic places, pushing back the darkness, trying to be present in those areas. For others to have the chance to hear and get to know who Jesus is. And so we want to thank you for that. Many of you have given sacrificially too for us to be present in other areas. And so we do thank you for that. As we exercise as the body of Christ. Before I do share about what God is up to in Germany, I just want to lay the foundation for us this morning, just a key verse for us to hang on to through this morning. And John 10:10, very familiar probably for many of you, Jesus says, "The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy, but I have come that they may have life and have it to the full." And this is what we want to see. We want to see ourselves and others around us know that real life, that genuine life, that authentic life that Jesus wants to give us, right? It's not just eternal life later down the road when we've passed on, but it's today, right now, that real life, that full life, abundant life that he wants to give us. And so our desire is to see people come closer and closer and closer to Christ and to that life that he has for us. So as Sarah mentioned, we've lived in Germany for the last 15 years. And here's just a few quotes to give you an idea of the spiritual atmosphere of where we are. Some of the phrases that we've heard: "You're a pastor and you're wearing a Star Wars shirt? Inconceivable," right? They have a very... They have an idea of what pastors should or shouldn't be and should and shouldn't wear, apparently. And so the fact that I'm wearing a Marvel shirt or a Star Wars shirt just... force is strong in this one. Anyway, the second one: "That was a nice church service, but you talked about Jesus a lot." So the picture is actually of the Zionskirche in Mitte in Berlin, where Dietrich Bonhoeffer actually preached for a while. And he... He didn't say this. Go back. We did our team in Berlin, we did a cooperative international church service with the leadership there of this state Lutheran Protestant church there, right? And afterwards, went really well. Afterwards, the pastor of this Lutheran church came up to our teammate, Jerry, who spoke that morning or that evening, and said, "Oh, the church service went really well. It was great. I was really encouraged, but you talk about Jesus a lot." The pastor of the church there was surprised at how much our colleague had preached Jesus. Is that interesting to you? I find that a little interesting, okay? And then the third one is one that we've heard many times: religion is insert expletive, the church is not for me. We've heard that many, several times in different ways. Just, it's not for them. The church, religion, this is nothing that, it's not in their framework, in their perspective. And so one of the questions that we do get oftentimes is, why are you guys in Germany? I mean, that's Luther, the Reformation, you have technology, it's not a third world country or anything, isn't there access to the gospel? And yes, that's kind of true, but I just want to address that a little bit as we think back to the 20th century. I don't know if any of you are history buffs, but in the 20th century, it was a little rocky for Germany, right? You had economic depression and inflation, you had World War I, you had the rise of Hitler and the Nazis in World War II, country devastated, the country's torn in two, you have East Germany, West Germany, the Berlin Wall is up for about almost 30 years, literally dividing the country and making this little island of West Berlin in the middle of East Germany. And then in 1989, the wall comes down, the country is reunited, and they're kind of redeveloping their identity again. All of this, especially in East Germany, just left the spiritual climate devastated there in the country, where now you have a country where Luther kicked off the Reformation, right? They just celebrated 500 years ago. 90% of people where we live in Germany will say that there is no God. 9 out of 10 people. Here in the U.S., it's only 10% will say there is no God, right? They're atheists. But there in Germany, 90%, less than 1% of people are going to any kind of a church on a Sunday morning. The church is seen as cold and irrelevant. God has no role in my life. Even this church, this beautiful church building, built back in 1298 was when it was first established. First Alliance is not that old, I don't think. 1298. 7 centuries old. So, 7 centuries old, right? It was first established to be this place for people to meet and to come into community and worship the Lord, right? And get to know their creator and to honor him and to praise him. And yet in the last 75 years, there's not been a regular, normal church service on a Sunday morning in this building. You can go see a nice art exhibit. You can see a funny stand-up comedian, maybe. You can check out their website, see what's coming up. You can go up the little tower there and get a good view of the city. But in this church building in Neubrandenburg, it's now called the Concert Church. This is not really the intention of this church building initially, was it? And unfortunately, this is a common picture where we are in former East Germany. There are so many people in this region where we live that have not had a relevant introduction to who Jesus is. And so that's where we're passionate. We want to show that God is real. We want to show that John 10:10 verse and introduce them to who the real Jesus is. That God has created us. And because he's created us, he loves us and he cares for us and he wants to interact with us. And so God gives us that creativity to do that, and we'll share a little bit about that this morning. So just a reminder, less than 1% of people are going to any kind of a church, Bible-believing, Bible-preaching church on a Sunday morning in Germany. This is the Ampelmann. If you come visit us, you'll see the Ampelmann around. This tells you whether to cross the sidewalk or not. So you see, there are 99, if you counted them really quickly, there are 99 red guys there, not walking, not going to church, but there's the one little guy who is going to church, just to give you a visual of the spiritual climate there. Oh, yeah, I need to give a geographical context. That's what my notes say here. A geographical context of where we are. Berlin, the capital of Germany, we were there for 4 years, but our team strategically saw we want to move out of the city and reach this dark, spiritually dark corner of the country. And so you can see where that little star is. That is Waren, northeast Germany. You can see we're strategically located there in the center, in the middle of this region, a place where not many international missions agencies, nor even German ministries really focus their efforts. And so this has really been our heartbeat for our team in this area.
We are not doing this alone. I don't want you to think it's just the Carries and the two of us and our four kids. We are out there with a wonderful team, so we want to introduce you to our team a little bit. This is all of us in a picture in the summer before we had a chance to, before we left. We are serving with the Youngs. I think we have a picture of just the Young family. Mm-hmm. And their three kids, Oliver, Elsie, and Madeline. And they have been serving there now for their first term. They're finishing up and will be also coming back to the States in the summer for their year of home assignment. And alongside of the Youngs, we have the McLeans, who have recently joined our team about a year and a half ago now. Sean and Susie and Ian and Maisie, and they've been a great part of our team, doing really well in their language study, and we're super excited to go back and join them when we head back in July. You may be asking, what does this look like for you guys? So Ben's shared about how few people have interest in church, have few interest in God, and what that looks like. So what are we doing? What are we trying to do to connect with people? For us, it's been very, very important from day one since we moved there in the very beginning that we would establish a impactful presence there in the community. That we wouldn't just be living there among the community, but that we would be trying our best to make sure that we are impacting those around us with the love of Christ, being present in their lives. So how do we do that? By trying to build bridges into their lives, by doing things through the community center and offering camps, offering cooking classes, doing local clubs for the English for kids so they can come and play and learn English and connect with us. Finding basic everyday ways to reach people with everyday things that are no different than what you guys do. You go to a club during the week and play soccer. Do you share Jesus at the club? Do you share Jesus in the lives of people that you do everyday things? And that's a lot of what we have been doing from day one, of just trying to connect, build bridges into people's lives. Yes, through some programs, but also through being present in their lives by connecting with them. We have some partners who we've been working with since the moment we got there. The Schmetterling House is one of our community centers in town, and we're so grateful because we've been able to do some programs there. But also now that's where our church is being held on Sunday mornings, and that's been a really great opportunity. You can see here, this is where the International Gemeinde Waren is meeting on Sunday mornings in the community center because of the established relationship that we've had with them since the moment that we got there. English Day Camp just happened in February. That's one of our really big bridge building ministries that we have. And we call it that because it literally, we see it that way as a team. We're building a bridge into the community in a way that's tangible, teaching kids English, but then also having people like you come and help support our team, serve with us for camp, and share Christ in teaching them English. And it builds that bridge, builds that connection. We have 60 kids that come in February for this camp. In the summer, we have English camps for teenagers, and just these everyday ways to reach people and be the hands and feet of Jesus Christ in their lives in everyday ways.
Yeah, that is not February in Germany.
That's not February
camp. No, that would be the summer English camp.
That's summer camp.
If we can jump back to the church picture there, just to give a little idea of what church looks like for us. This is the Internationale Gemeinde Waren, so International Church of Waren, that we've started with our teammates. And it started off as a house church, just in our dining room. We would have brunch together. COVID sent us a few bumps and barriers along the way, and so we relaunched about a year and a half ago, and meeting in the Schmetterlings House, as Sarah mentioned. But we are giving out invitations. People were receiving those invitations, and it's wonderful to see individuals coming in for our church service, many through just personal contact and personal relationships, those personal invitations. And I'm not exaggerating when I say about two-thirds of the people that are coming do not know who Jesus is. They have not embraced him as Savior, but they're curious. They're learning. They're exploring who Jesus is and what the Bible is and what God's trying to speak to us through the Bible. And so we start off with brunch. We have food together. It's great. You have the Brötchen, the bread rolls, and the lunch meats, and cheese, and everything. That's good stuff. Then we have music together, much like we did here. Maybe not as awesome and wonderful, unless you guys are there doing it for us. But we are worshiping God. We do that together through music, through praise, in that way. And then we have a little bit of input, not necessarily a sermon or a message like that, but a Bible story that we learn together. It's interactive, it's creative together. And we have prayer and time before and after just to be in community with each other. Sometimes we have brick brunches where we have, you can see the one picture up there, we have big totes of Legos and we build the Bible story for that day. And then we tell the Bible story with the Legos. So you have food, the Bible and God, and Legos. It's perfect. Near perfection, right? Chef's kiss. That's the thing that people text and write today. It's wonderful because we're literally interacting with God's word. We build the Bible story together, and so you're getting this creativity from everybody. You're learning about the story of the wedding at Cana where Jesus turns the water into wine, and so you have the slide for the guests, for the wedding guests there, right? You have the DJ that's there. Someone built a DJ because you have to have that at the wedding party, and then you have the goulash cannon that shoots out cannon style, the goulash for the wedding guests. That's great, right? And then you didn't know that Goliath actually had an older brother that had missile launchers on his shoulders. But that's okay, not a big deal. But we learn together. We're drawing these truths. We're learning from God's word together, literally interacting with his word. And it's fantastic to see how truth is being preached out and lived out within the community there. And many of these people, again, are hearing these stories, are hearing these truths about God for the first time. And we're introducing them to who the real Jesus is. You touched on English camp there a little bit. Did you want to say any more about that?
What Ben has failed to mention is
that
it's very exciting because church has been going on now for a little bit in the Schmedling House, and our teammates, we keep talking to them once a month, catch up, keep up on what's going on, and we were really excited the last time we talked to them because there is about 60 people attending regularly now on a Sunday morning, and that is a really big deal, guys. Yes, praise Jesus. And it makes me emotional to think about that because, like Ben said, when we started in our very little living room, and to see where God has taken that and how most of these people do not know Jesus, but there is something that's intriguing to them. They're experiencing Christ's love, and we know that. So that's why we keep on loving them back and saying, come, learn, hear, ask your questions. And they are, and they're excited, and they keep coming back, and they're participating and wanting to help and bringing food and doing their part to make this happen on Sundays because they're hungry and they're curious because they've never heard the word of God this way before, if at all. So it's super exciting. Not only are we excited just about what's going on Sunday mornings, but another big part of what our team is doing is it's a big passion for us to continue to be reaching out to the next generation. I had mentioned before that in the summers we have English camp, and this is a ministry that's been going on from our teams in Germany for many years now, but our team in Wahren is now who oversee it, and it's been super exciting because, as we mentioned to you, Ben shared about the church, you have these giant church buildings and nothing happening in them. Well, we have teenagers living all over the country, and very much so in Northeast Germany, who live in small towns and villages, and there is nothing happening where they have the chance to experience the gospel or go to a Sunday service. And so they come in the summertime, we have camp for a week, they spend the whole week with us, and they're learning English through God's word. We advertise it as a Christian camp. And why is this important to us? Because if we're not reaching the next generation, then who's going to be there to keep on reaching their people, the German people and the culture of Germany? And so we're excited because it's been going on for a while. And we just keep seeing teens come, not just because of English, but because they're curious. They've never heard before. And then they go home and they share what they're learning about God's word with their families. I love that idea. I love when teenagers come and then they say, I can't wait to go home and tell my mom and dad what I have learned about God's word. I never heard this before. And so it's really beautiful. A couple years ago, we actually got to experience for the first time a young girl, Marlena, who'd been coming to camp a couple years. She accepted the Lord, And she came, was it her last year of camp?
2019
she came. And before she came to camp, she reached out to Ben and I and said, hey, you know what? Would it be possible for me to be baptized at English camp? Because that's where I learned about Christ, that's where I accepted Christ, and that's where I want to be baptized, and I want to do this in front of my peers, and I want you guys to participate in it. So I had the privilege and honor to be able to baptize her right there at the lake on our swimming day in front of her teen friends, and she was able to express in public why and what she was doing. It gives me goosebumps to this day to think about that, because that's the next generation. They're going to be the ones there when we're not there. I want to work myself out of a job because these teenagers are loving Christ with their whole heart, and they're leading their family members to Jesus. That's what we want to see, right? Yeah, I agree. Another great thing that we've been able to be a part of unexpectedly, and you can continue to be praying for us, we have also had a lot of Ukrainian refugees in the community since the war has been happening, and our team was able to participate in helping families, and we've been encouraged now because there are a lot of them living in Varen. We've been able to help them find homes and be a part of the community, and we've also got a very large group of them who are attending church. God knew way before we ever did, when we sat down as a team and said, you know, we need a name for our church, and felt like it needed to be an international church. He knew way before we ever could have imagined that we were going to have multiple cultures in this tiny little German church. And I think that's the most beautiful part of it. As we sit in on a Sunday morning and we have Ukrainians and Latin families and Germans who we are there to reach, and then us Americans speaking English with each other every once in a while. It's a beautiful combination. So I'd ask you to be praying too for our team as we continue to minister to the Ukrainian refugees that are there in the church with us. So we want to just give you a couple individual examples of how we've seen God grow in the lives of the people that have been coming to church and through the camps that we've been ministering to over the past few years. Ben's going to introduce you to the first two.
Yeah, so I'd love to introduce you to T. She started coming to church, a personal invitation, through one of our team's families, and curious. She was just... God was working in her before she even started coming to the church services, and she always had questions, and she was reading the Bible on her own time as well in between church services and other meetings. And shortly before Christmas, just a couple months ago, we got a text from Carissa, our teammate, saying, hey, fantastic news, T has embraced Jesus and is now following him. As her savior. And so we are so excited for that, because we have been praying specifically for her and our teammates. We had sent out the prayer requests for her specifically that week, and God answered the prayers. Should we be surprised by that? I don't think so, but some of us were, but we're just excited to see that she has embraced Jesus. And so she is asking more questions. She's going through some discipleship with our teammates, and it's exciting to see. But please be praying for her, because a lot of her family and friends just don't get it, right? And that happens. I mean, it does sound pretty crazy for people to hear what we believe, right? But God is working in her, so please be praying for her, that that faith would grow deeper, deeper, and stronger and stronger. Pray for T. And the grouping of people that she kind of represents. Another person is M. I got to meet M a few years ago, and he started coming to church as well. And it was really cool, because he was coming with his family, and we had kind of seen each other around town, but you didn't really know that person. You know how that is. You recognize a face, but you don't really know them. So we got to meet each other finally and kind of chat and get to know each other, and he was coming. He was interested. He has no church background. He doesn't know who Jesus is, but he was intrigued by what we were doing there at church and how it was looking and how it was for his kids as well. And in chatting with him, he was reading some of these stories about Jesus for the first time. He says, Jesus is really cool. Like, the things he's saying, the things he's doing, it's very different, but there's something about it. And so he's continuing to seek. He went through the Alpha course that our teammate did in the last year. And he's continuing to look. But there's some things he and his partner, his girlfriend, there are some things where they're like, they're hung up on certain things about the gospel, right? Like this, how could he still love us, right? For who I am. How could this really be real? And so we're praying for that breakthrough. We're praying for those barriers to be busted down, for the Holy Spirit to witness as well as we are witnessing to him, and that he would come to faith in Christ. So please be praying for M and others like him, that he represents so many, that are on the way, coming closer and closer and closer to Christ, but he's just not there yet.
As we mentioned before, we do these camps in the summertime, and we want to see the next generation come to Christ, and I get the honor and privilege to tell you about Tommy and Zalame, whose names I don't have to abbreviate for you. Zalame is a young lady who we've known since she was 13 years old. Her and her siblings came to camp over the past few years as they've been growing up, and this is Zalame and her husband now, Tommy Schaff, and we're really encouraged because they're an example to us of why time invested matters. Time invested and discipling and being present in the lives of these young people. We've been able to watch Salome grow up, watch her go through college, watch her get engaged, and watch her get married. And now Salome and Tommy, I cry every time I say this, Salome and Tommy have been invited by our team in Waren to come and be the new German pastoral couple of our church in the future. And that is huge. Yeah. They have family in the nearby area, and we've seen them grow and been a part of the discipling and the training of them. And so they're not coming tomorrow, but they've been asked to pray about it, and they heard from the Lord, and they've seen how God's taken them from where they were to where they are. They're now doing leadership training with the Alliance and participating with our team and praying and preparing for the exact start date. But they're in this process with us now and have said, yeah, we feel this call that God is calling us to come home to our people in Waren and share the gospel with them and learn from you guys and participate and be there with you guys and do this. And for us to be able to see the fruit of the time invested, it's taken a long time, but you know what? It doesn't matter because God's timing is always right. It is always right. And so to be able to continue to mentor and journey with them, John 10:10 is what we said our verse is and what we're trying to see grow in the lives of these people in Germany and in the lives of the next generation and the generation to come, as we want to see them leading their families and friends to Christ and coming up and doing this together. And it's been an honor and a privilege to see Tommy and Zalame and to know that, again, back in our tiny little living room, we had no idea who it was going to be that was going to come and pastor this church. But God had a plan, and it's exciting, exciting to see where it's going.
Yeah, we are very thankful, again, that we're part of this body of Christ within this Alliance family. And we cannot be present there in Northeast Germany without that body of Christ, without us doing this together. And so we just want to thank you for that. And if there's any desire for you to be able to be a part of what God's doing there in Northeast Germany, being in these lives of these individuals, it's so cool to see how within the body, as we exercise as the body of Christ, how we can have a spiritual impact in a place that we cannot physically reach. Even though we're going to be out in Northeast Germany, we can be praying for First Alliance here and the community, the neighborhood here, and we can help be a part of that spiritual impact in the lives of people here through prayer, through encouragement, through staying connected. And so we would love to invite you to stay connected with us, grabbing a prayer card or a bookmark from the church. There's a little table outside in the foyer, entrance, lobby, whatever your church decides to call it here. It's out there. Thank you for, you can also pray for the church and for the future, for our team. and just our family as well. We are there as a family, and our family is always changing and growing older, and it's fun to try and be parents of kids these ages. But thank you for praying for us. If you would like to financially give to the Great Commission Fund, to Alliance Missions, either through the church here or through the website that's listed, that helps us to literally be present there on the ground in Northeast Germany. And you can always, if you want to, come and hang out with us. Come and join us in the future at some point, right? Hop on a plane. It's just a few hours, several hours. To come over to us, but you can join us on a short-term trip or join us alongside of us in serving those that we want to see come closer and closer and closer to Christ. We thank you so much for that opportunity. And again, just to wrap this up, John 10:10. The thief comes to steal and kill and destroy. There is a reality that someone's trying to stop this from happening. That we want to see these people come closer and closer to Christ, but there is a person, a force, an army that's trying to pull them back and trying to pull all of us back further away from Jesus. However, Jesus has come. And we've celebrated that. We've sung Hosanna, right? And we're praising him with these palm branches, and we're celebrating the crucifixion, the resurrection this next weekend. He has come that we can have life. And have what kind of life? Have it to the full, have it abundant, have it real, have it genuine, have authentic life in him. Not just later, when we're not breathing anymore, but right now when we have breath, that we can breathe his life in us.